Blog Talk Radio.
Don't ever laugh as a hearse goes by, for you may be the next to die. They wrap you up in bloody sheets to drop you 6 feet underneath. They put you in a pine wood box and cover you up with dirt and rocks. It all goes well for about a week, and then your coffin begins to leak, and the worms crawl in, the worms crawl out, the worms play pinochle on your snout. They eat your eyes, they eat your nose as you begin to decompose. A slimy beetle with demon's eyes chews through your stomach and out your sides. Your stomach turns to rancid grease, and pus pours out like melted cheese. You spread it on a slice of bread, and that's what you'll eat when you're dead. And the worms crawl out, your liver starts to liquefy, and for the living all is well as you sink further into hell. And the flames rise up to drag you down into the fire where you will drown. Your skin melts off as you descend, and Satan tears you limb from limb. Your suffering will never end, and the worms crawl in,
darlings, and welcome to Late Night Post at the Midnight Show, where you get to take a walk on the wild side. If you're into life with Ginsberg Bukowski, feeling giddy, caring like a Martian, then you are on the night, but please check out our other After Midnight shows. Join Jeremy Thursday morning as he brings you the headliner's ball. Break on through Friday with Pam. Saturday, join Aphasia and Babylon as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert as he brings you the solace of shadows. These shows are designed to shoot and color outside the lines with richer emotions tinged with colloquial language, thereby pushing the envelope to expression and opening up new avenues of thought through pen and voice. So pull up a chair and relax. Open your minds. I'm Rex, my co-host Pam Ray, can't wait to get into and read your words. And tonight, as you got to listen to the song, we are kicking off Halloween week with this show. So, evening, Pam.
Good evening, Rex. Happy beginning of Halloween week. How's it going?
Just fine. What's up?
Awesome. Awesome sauce. Well, you know, life is good. I'm excited. Looks like a great lineup of spooky poetry that's definitely going to be fun to delve into. So let's go ahead. I'll bring on a guest and we'll get this party started. And hello, Randy. Welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Hello, Pam. Hi, Rex. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Randy. How you doing?
Just great. How are you guys tonight?
Excellent.
Doing good. And, all right.
Well, so what do you know about the song?
Oh, that's a great song. I never heard it in its entirety. I had always heard little bits and pieces.
It's been a a kiddie song, a folk song throughout the years, but it comes in a whole lot of different versions. In fact, it's been around for, God, it's been around for quite a while. The earliest version found is from English, from a poem from English writer Matthew Lewis. He incorporated it into his Gothic novel, The Monk, in 1796. And his lines went, the worms that crept in, the worms that crept out, and sported his eyes and temples about. That was in there. British soldiers were using it as a song dating back to the Crimean War. It was definitely running the trenches in World War One, where it was sung by both American and British soldiers. And it's been a conversation mostly for kids because of that one, those two lines, the worms crawl in, the worms crawl out.
Oh, yeah. You know, the line that I always remember that really stood out to me was the line, and the worms crawl in, the worms crawl out, the worms play pinochle on your snout. And that's the part I always remembered. I have to say, this whole thing is just delightfully disgusting. But the part that stood out to me is particularly disgusting and pus comes out like whipping cream. You spread it on your slice of bread, and that's what you eat when you're dead. And then your brains turn into sauerkraut.
Yeah, I've heard versions that included pizza grease as what comes out in the belly. There's a ton of them online, so you can run through any number of different versions, and there's a bunch of varied versions. So, and they're all pretty funny.
Right. It was really a cool prompt idea that Gene found with the pictures and the song, and the putting them together. So very cool.
All right, let's kick it off.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and Randy, we'll start with your show. Not your show, sorry, my bad. We'll start with your poem. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Will do. And my poem is entitled The Last Ride. We've all had the chance to view a hearse and with a nervous reflex quickly look away, knowing that we'll succumb to death's curse, can't indefinitely hold that grim reaper at bay. And don't remind us of our fragile mortality in a morbid display of a rolling procession, leading a dearly departed to a final locality. No U-Hauls behind, filled with possessions. Can't take it with you is a common refrain. You're dead, it's over, you're put in the ground. So then whatever you had adds all that remains. Your family's now left to divide it all around. Despite how nice they make this dedication, expensive casket or mausoleum, so ornate, no amount of spin or soft reverent oration can hide death. And of this, there's no debate. End poem.
Great read, Randy. Thank you very much. All right, then.
I really like the imagery that you put in this one. I like the message of that you can't take any of it with you. Very cool old-fashioned picture of a hearse that you chose to write to. Let's see. My favorite lines are, and don't remind us of our fragile mortality in a morbid display of a rolling procession, leading a dearly departed to a final locality, no U-Hauls behind, filled with possessions. and expensive casket or mausoleum, so ornate, no amount of spin or soft reverent ornation can hide death, and of this there's no debate. So it doesn't matter how pretty you make it all look, you know, death is death and it's final. So excellent, Dark Rite, and very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
I got a hit at the bite at humor in that last line on the second stanza. Leading a dearly departed to a final locality, no U-Hauls behind, filled with possessions. Yeah, where you're going, you can't take nothing with you, although a lot of people do strive to do so. I've heard at least one guy who got buried in his Cadillac because he wanted to go in style, literally. And I've heard another one actually being buried in a baby grand piano because he loved it so much. But outside of that, there is that note. You can't really take stuff with you. And besides, if you have to dig a grave that big for those things, boy, are you paying out the nose, and it's probably costing everything you've got to begin with. So you ain't taking it with you except that one little special thing. And tell you what, though, there is that note, too, you dropped in here with the family is left to divide it all around. Yeah, that can get a little messy, too. Nicely done, Randy.
Thanks, Rick.
You're welcome. All right, Pam, where do you want to go now?
All right. Up next, hold on, we have To Pay by Dark and Auras. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Trick to Pay by Dark and Auras. I see that old black hearse roll by. I see it often. I'm not going to lie. The graveyard's filling up each day. Slow driving hearse causing delay. I see the caskets brazed in gold with satin lining, or so I'm told. For what purpose is all this flaunt and flare? It will be buried, and the dead won't care. It's just a box that holds a prize, a 10-course meal from our demise, an invitation to come and eat, for maggots and worms to find deceit. Your mouth is an entrance to come and see, while your eyes and organs are a delicacy. Soon you'll be nothing but bones, while your loved ones are still paying off loans. Just to afford what coffin they said was a deal, the one that couldn't even stay fully sealed, the one that was gorgeous, hidden away in the dirt, with a white satin lining comfortably insert. They lie to themselves, it's just a new permanent bed, can't convince themselves the dead need not rest their head. So when someone they love finally goes, that's when the trick to pay out the nose. End poem. Randy, what do you think?
That's pretty clever. I really like it. And you know, the opening verse is so relatable. You know, how often we see a hearse roll by and in the slow procession that causes delays. But I really like the second stanza. I see the caskets brazen in gold with satin lining, or so I'm told. For what purpose is all this flaunt and flare? It will be buried and the dead won't care. Yeah, there's a lot of what seems to be pretty ridiculous when we're burying people, to spend a lot of money on a one-time event that the people that are being buried really don't care about it anyway. So, I really enjoyed this. I thought it was very well written.
Thank you, Randy. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with Randy that there's a lot of pomp and circumstance and extra money spent and really taking advantage of the family's emotional state, in my opinion. I really like what Dark and Auras had to say in her AN, the bottom half of it, where she said, it's just sad. I hope when I die, they'll take any organs that they can use for others and throw me to the wolves. At least then my body will be useful, not rotting away in a glorified box that's likely running my family into debt. I like that idea. Donate my organs, all that you can, and then throw me to the wolves, or the bears in my case. you know. So, but yeah, I really like that she, just like Randy, has an important message, and that is, you know, that with hers, the idea that, you know, the too much money is spent, too much time is spent putting families into debt and taking advantage of families, and the people who are dead don't care. You know, they're not, you know, around to enjoy it. And I really like the lines. I see the caskets braised in gold with satin lining, or so I'm told. For what purpose is all this flaunt and flare? I will be buried and the dead won't care. I also thought she got really well into a reflection of the prompt with your mouth is an entrance to come and see, while your eyes and organs are a delicacy. Soon you will be nothing but bones, while your loved ones are still paying off loans. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you very much. This could actually roll with, I didn't think of it at the time, it could have rolled along with the tune itself. I see that old black roll by. I see it often. I'm not going to lie. The graveyard's filling up each day. Slow drying fingers causing delay. So this could have run on that very same tune. So nicely done with that, DA. And I did that as a couple of, I like the thought, she offers up the notes to some of the song too. The 10-course meal from our demise. An invitation to come and eat, for maggots and worms to find a seat. Nicely touched upon. Soon to be nothing but bones, while your loved ones are still paying off loans. A little bit of coffin humor. And she got a point. About the excess to bury one in luxury when, hell, they're not feeling anything anyway. They're gone. So it is a nice thought, though, but you look at it, the average burial today, I think it's like $20,000. So it is an expensive affair to put someone in the ground. Just roast me in the oven.
Absolutely.
It's a lot cheaper.
Yep. That's what if I can't have some sort of Viking funeral where they shoot burning arrows on my floating pyre, then I want to just be cremated. Preferably the Viking funeral with the flaming arrows and me floating on a wooden raft in the middle of Lake Superior, you know.
Oh, shit, you got Lake Superior? Do the Viking. Send the boat out there for a few hours and it burn.
Years ago, I used to just tell people, you know, instead of an expensive funeral and everything, just take me down to my favorite bar, prop me up in the corner, everybody have a party. When it's all done, throw me in a ditch somewhere and it doesn't matter.
There you go. I like that. Very cool.
All right, what are we into next?
All right, up next we have Bring Out Your Dead by Diamond Dave. And it goes like this. Bring out your corpses, the gentleman sings. Bring out your dead and your moldering things. Bring your departed and we shall have traversed the road to the morgue in the back of my hearse. Bring your cadavers and rotting remains, carcasses spoiling with worms in their veins. Pestilence strikes, there are grave days ahead. Bring out your corpses, lads, bring out your dead. I'll make them coffins and they will be blessed by priests before finding perpetual rest. Yes, bring out your bodies that rot in their bed, hearses awaiting, now bring out your dead.
Another great recap. Another touch to something funny too. That sort of actually, because this is what go back to the Dark Ages when the plague was running around. There was that call: bring out your dead. And they throw them on the carts and take them off to be buried in the mass grave to get them out from the villages. So that bring out your dead angle was a nice touch, cleverly used. Bring out your dead, your moldering things. I like that one too. But to finish out, now bring out your dead. That call, that notice, hey, the burying man is here. Bring out your dead. They'll take him away. And he does bring in that note of pestilence. So I like that thought too. So, Dave, well played. A little old, a little touch, and very nicely done. Thank you very much. About you, Randy, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was very clever, and I really liked the way it flowed. It had a really nice flow to it, one stanza to another. I like the bring out your cadavers and rotting remains, carcasses spoiling with worms in their veins, pestilence strike. There are great days ahead. Bring out your corpses, lads. Bring out your dead. Yeah, that... It really flowed very well. It was good rhyme, and it was kind of a fun read, despite the fact that not a very fun subject, but I thought Dave did a very good job. I liked
it. Excellent. Thank you, Randy. Pam, what about you?
Yeah, I had read these earlier, and I had noticed the same thing, that he really did a great job at focusing on the medieval times and during plagues, and when bodies used to be just collected and buried in mass graves, and the call that they used to say, bring out your dead. You know, as always, he's got great rhyme and flow. He's got, strong imagery. I really like the words of warning that really has a nice dark tone to it. Pestilence strikes. There are grave days ahead. I thought the use of the word grave was spot on, because it's a double meaning word, so excellent dark right. And the idea of collecting up all those corpses. So, very well done.
All right. Where would you like to go next?
All right. Let me see here. All right. I think before Randy goes, we'll have him read one more for us.
Okay.
I know. So... And I'm going to put up Glass Coffin by Betty Page. And Randy, I promise you there's nothing about high heels or anything like that, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead and do that read for us.
All right. Glass Coffin by Betty Page. Princess within glass, poisoned red cherry apple, still left in her hand. Prince, just all in tears. Seven dwarfs are all weeping, awaiting black hearse. Well-preserved G, her pretty face, china white, rosy lips and cheeks. Gazing at her beauty sweet, the evil queen seems as one, though night's just begun. Sharing favorite times, drinking, dancing, serving wine, as she would want done, as night drew quiet. From her glass coffin, choked up, bit out queen's poison. End poem.
Great read, Randy. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, I thought this was a great write. As always, she's got wonderful imagery, wonderful 5-7-5 lines. I like that she went with using the 5-7-5 lines to bring us to the death of Snow White by the hands of the Wicked Queen. I thought that particular picture she chose worked really well with that theme. And one of the things that most impressed me is she went with the original story rather than the Disney version. Because in the original story, there was actually three attempts on Snow White's life. One was a comb, one was an apple. I don't remember what the other one was, but the apple was actually, she didn't become awake by, you know, the prince kissing her. She became back to life awake because the apple was lodged in her throat. And as they were carrying her, the coffin got dropped and the apple got bumped out of her, the piece of poisonous apple got bumped out of her throat. So I was really impressed with the fact that Betty went with that original concept. I also like really like the lines, gazing at her beauty sweet, the evil queen seems has won, though night's just begun. It's a nice pivoting point in the poem. So very well done.
Excellent. Pam, thank you very much. And Randy, how about you? You got to read it.
Yes, I really enjoyed the fact that it went to that story as well. And there are many lines there that are captivating and worthy of reading again. But I like the prince, just all in tears, seven dwarves all weeping, awaiting Blackhurst, well-preserved beauty, her pretty face, china white, rosy lips and cheeks, gazing at her beauty sweet. The evil queen seems has won, though night's just begun. It's very, very well written, and I love the fact that it went to that story as well. Her stuff is always well written, so that's no surprise at all, but I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Randy. She did take the right picture for this, because that does offer up a nice regal note, and since the glass case is representative, so it might just as well be that glass coffin within this edifice being strolled along. So that was a nice touch, along with the opening up of the poison red apple still left in her hand, and the prince, the seven dwarfs. She rolled the whole thing in here and played out the scene as if it was happening in front of our eyes. So I like that. Nice touch there, Betty. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Up next, we have Last Ride Down Main for Marie by Peter Sawley. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read, please.
All righty. Let's see. Where is it? There we go. Last Ride Down Main. For Marie by Peter Sawley. Totally out of it, port and dope and living, whacked out for good in a garden box. Blooms, no more need for bus or cab, hiking to town, driving in pressed uniform to take you down Main, rock your brain, stop on red, go on green. Temple, crematorium, driver, skipper knowing, trees and lampposts waving to outline your last time passing. So out of it, not even knowing, a host of dolls following, transcriber of the cartoon gong, all her colors gone, roll your owns undone, smoke wobbling over the deep blue ocean, far from Maine. End poem. All right, Pam.
Well, before I comment, I'd like to welcome Felon to the show. Welcome, Felon. Glad you could join us.
Me too. Hello, hello.
Hello, Phil.
What's that?
Not much. How you doing?
Really good. I'm trying to decipher this poem by Peter Sawley for, or are you calling somebody else for just a minute?
Yeah, I started right with Pam.
I'll go ahead and comment. And all right. So definitely intriguing imagery as always. I like the title, Last Ride Down Main. I wonder if Marie is Marie Antoinette, or if there's another, and well, it must not be Marie Antoinette. I don't know what Marie it would be, but that's the first one that comes to my mind. I really like the line, temple, crematorium, driver, skipper knowing, trees and lampposts waving to outline your last time passing. So out of it, not even knowing, a host of dolls following, transcribers of the cartoon gong, and all her colors gone. And I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting look at a last ride down Main Street. So great imagery.
Thank you, Pam. And Randy, how about you?
Oh, Randy had to go.
Oh, okay. How you doing? You not ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What you think?
Okay. Last down Main. To me, I don't know if it's Marie, like she's a Marie Antoinette or not, but what I'm seeing is it's someone that the garden box is basically, or really is probably the coffin or whatever. I think it's somebody that that is going to the crematorium, and the driver in fresh uniform, probably be that person that's in the hearse that's driving, you know, doing that. And they, you know, stop on red, which I doubt they did stop on red. They probably kept on going on green, you know, all that. Driver skipping knowing. I think it's just, you know, that last ride out before you get, you know, poof, you know, in flames, what I'm thinking. And that, you know, it says roll your own undone, roll your own undone, smoke wobbling over the deep blue ocean far from Maine. You're going to the heavens, you know, your spirit and whatever's left of you is just floating to the sky. This one here, Peter's got me stumped on, but that's what I got from it.
Actually, right there with you, that opening up, totally out of the porch and dope and living, whacked out for good in a garden box, blooms and art, cloaked with boots, no more need for bus and cab, hiking to town. The idea of that, this is her last hurrah, if you got it, smoke it, because you're going out in style, that sort of the driver skipping on trees and lampposts waving to outline your last time passing is that kind of, hey, this is your last hurrah. Enjoy the trip down Main, because the crematorium is there. And I think roll your own's undone kind of hits at the idea. Yeah, well, maybe you've had more than your fair share of those. And, well, they've undone you for the last time. Smoke wobbling over the deep blue ocean far from Maine. That kind of hints at a ship. Your ship has sailed. All right, Pam, we're coming to you.
That Rex, I didn't think about that.
Well, it was a nice touch of a metaphor rolled throughout.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Pam, where you want to go?
All right, up next we have The Worm Turns, Birth of the Death by Pee Wee Cousin. And Felon, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes. This is by Pee Wee Cousin, and it's called As the Worm Turns, Birth of the Death. Awakening in the dampened blackness of a mostly deflated box, odor of decaying flesh and punches of purred earth whiffing through rocks. Oh, the problems of mice and men, you're certain, and the necessities is true. You're dead as hell, your body a rotting worm with pus-filled mess. Memories, though you don't seem to possess, only burning ravages of hunger, starting to crawl of worms to take shape of a skull. You rise from down under, falling in the falling off multicolored bugs, becoming body parts lost, aware only of the burning desire within to play and eat skin, no matter the cost. I see in the world nothing as before. You see mills clouded by foggy haze. Instinctual and inscrutable, you will find a way to devour all the world be flayed. Grunting and groaning worms falling in and away. I thought callous brains ripping, biting, tearing, and shredding the fleshy meals inside drive you insane. Disassociated and dismembered, bent on pain. One word on lips and mind, brains. End poem.
Great read there, Sal. Thank you very much. And all right, Pam, what do you think? As the worm turns. Sounds like a daytime soap.
It is.
Remember that?
It is a daytime soap. Yeah, no, I did notice that about the title, you know, the play on the daytime soap, As the World Turns, As the Worm Turns. I thought that was very clever. I thought this was a great take on the prompt wonderful visceral imagery. But what I like is he did a different kind of twist to it. It made it a zombie story, you know, and there's nothing like a good zombie story, you know, for kicking off Halloween week. I really like that he starts it from the point of view of awakening in that coffin, awakening in the dampened blackness of a musty, dilapidated box, odor of decaying flesh and pungency of putrid earth wafting through rocks. He really gets you with not only the use of the imagery, but the use of scent. And, of course, that ending, just wonderful, dark, twisted humor, desiccated and dismembered, bent on pain, one word on lips and mind, brains. Excellent lines and very well done.
Well said, Pam. All right, Belle, you got to read it. What do you think?
I think this is a clever write in itself. This is what can happen when you're in the, you know, you're in the vault or in your little coffin, and everything else just kind of just starts, you know, like a little baby marching band coming in to have dinner, lunch, at whatever, and then they see the world through your eyes, but they're actually eating your eyes as they're looking through it. That's what I said. I see through the world of nothing as before, because they're seeing through that of a worm or whatever is eating on them. And then the worms are so, they're grunting and they're so full, they're just like, ugh. They're just laying there and kind of grunting, and then they just get ready for more and more and more. And I like where he says, ripping, biting, tearing, and shredding the fleshy meals inside drive you insane. I mean, if you're still alive, maybe, but maybe they're still alive at the bottom of the hole. And they're just buried alive, and everything's coming to eat on them, and they can't do nothing about it, and they're just kind of stuck. So just a great ride altogether.
Absolutely. Besides that title, at the thought with As the World Turns, so to speak, there was also another piece dropping here. You hit on the problems of mice and men, touched to relevancy and storyline, but this also had me thinking of the original Night of the Living Dead, because they open up with that scene after the comet flies over. Barbara, they're coming to get you, Barbara. Barbara. And then all of a sudden, the mangy things start eating everything. And you get a little picture of one of them dipping in to a body and pulling out a load of intestines. Erotic and nicely emotive in the moment from 1969, going back a ways. And they made that film for like $50,000, and the thing has lasted, 50-odd years now. Nicely done, Pee-wee. Got to have food for the goodies, especially those who want something else on their minds besides the worms calling in and the worms calling out. They need fresh brains, because they have none. All right, Pam, where do you want to go next?
All right. Up next, we have Waiting in the Shadows by Stelina, and we have a SoundCloud for that, so here we go.
Did you ever think, as a hearse goes by, that the deceased was living last week? But you may be the next to die. These are things of which no one dares speak. For the beckoning figure of time never sleeps. A minute, an hour, a day, a year, fleeting and flying, yet silently it creeps, drawing the final breath ever near. Its pace lags when youth is abound, whilst hastening at the threshold of decline. Our existences around its fingers are wound, like filaments of flimsy twine. Omnipresent, though unseen, it secretly binds, stealing joy and prolonging sorrow, reaping in seconds in the shadows it hides, until it whispers, there is no tomorrow.
Great read. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. We very much appreciate it. And Fel, why don't we start with you?
I like this, especially the prompt that she used, the picture. That's a creepy looking hearse, but it's kind of cool. I mean, it's round. I mean, you could fit a couple in there, I guess. But basically, I like the fact that the way she puts it, when the Reaper calls, there's really no one can stop what he's doing, where she says, where's it at? And it pace lags when youth is abound, with lists hastening at the threshold of decline. Our existence around its finger are wound like filaments of flimsy twine. Oof. If that is not surreal and, you know, cut to the bone, I mean, we are. You cannot untie what is going to happen. It's already bound to what is, you know, your destiny in the next chapter and what we call the afterlife. But and then she ends it very cleverly, until it whispers, there is no tomorrow. I like that. That's a different way of saying it's over and it's not so cliche. So excellent job.
Excellent. Yeah, I do. I found that picture quite the piece, because it offers up that note to the fluff done in metal is actually kind of draped material with the binders at the bottom. I got that all around this truck, and the back, the roof kind of done the same way with the little adornments ringing around it. And I like that back end. It kind of offers up almost a fire motif rolling down the street, so to speak. But I like this thought, that second stanza. For the beckoning figure of time never sleeps. A minute, an hour, a day, a year, fleeting and flying, yet silently it creeps, drawing the final breath ever near. And then I finish out with, until it whispers, there is no tomorrow. Nicely done, Selena. Thank you very much. Pam, what about you?
Yeah, this was a nicely written dark poem. Wonderful performance. Great background music. I really like the lines, for the beckoning figure of time never sleeps, a minute, hour, day, a year, fleeting and flying, yet silently it creeps, drawing the final breath ever near. A wonderful reminder about the idea that time, from a human perspective, passes way too fast. So, excellent write and very well done.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
All right, and I'll go ahead and grab a poem for you to read, Rex.
All right.
And, all right, so I'm going to put up Caught a Mockingbird by Eric Stenson, and go
Hold on, Eric. He said he's going to send a SoundCloud, and I got Gene looking at the other end, so hopefully.
Fine. Okay, then try this again. I doubt he's going to send a SoundCloud by this point, but okay.
He just
An Irish it. Woman by Will Rout. Go ahead and give that a read.
An Irish Lament by Will Rout. Oh, grant me a pyre when I see me last day. Don't drag me along in a hearse on display. I'd rather the smell of a pungent burnt fire with me in the middle, up high on the pyre. Don't dig up the earth and disturb all the worms. You'll make them all squirm like a bucket of sperm. And they all be mad as an Englishman's wife when getting home late from the pub. Oh, what strife. They'll look for the one that has dug the big hole then all gang up on him, exacting their toll. And when they all find you alone in that box, they'll bore a big hole till they get to your socks. Then tickle you madly, your feet will be first. Let me guarantee you, your curse be damn hearse. And then they go up till they get to your bum and suck on your sputum, all go, yum, yum. And that's when they all go and slither inside. All through your intestines, you'll be liquefied. But they'll not be finished exacting their toll. They'll slither and sleaze till they find a nice hole. And then they go in till they get nice and fat. You'll wish for a pyre. I'll tell you that's that. Oh, grant me a pyre when I see me last day and fire off a cannon to all say hooray. Then all of them worms will be happy at play. I'd rather drive up in a nice Chevrolet. End poem. All right, Pam, what do you think about Will's Irish Lament? Spell? How about you?
I bet there's no pot of gold at the end of that one.
Nah.
I really like the verbiage in this, and I like the way he was very playful. And it's very humorous, but at the same time, it's dark. It's like a dark, humorous piece. And it kept you going. Every line had you going. And I like that. And his cadence is spot on. So this was just a very enjoyable read. And then it's the very bottom of my little read. He says, I'd rather drive up in a nice Chevrolet. Make it a Corvette. So I really like this. This is very cleverly written. And like I said, the rhyming scheme is beautiful. So I enjoyed it a great deal.
Funny thing is, I realized afterwards that he actually kind of hit it on to the song as well. Oh, grant me a pyre when I see me last day. Don't drag me along in a hearse on display. I'd rather the smell of a pungent burnt fire with me in the middle, up high on the pyre. So this could have gone just as well along with the tune itself, which was a nice touch. And I love that car, that 57 wagon turned into a hearse. It was a gorgeous look for going out the right way. Nicely done, Will. Thank you very much. Pam?
I would agree.
What do you think, Pam?
Well, I wish I would have been able to hear you read it, because I'm sure you did a fabulous job of it. But unfortunately, I had to miss it. So, I read this earlier. It was really clever the way he did it with the Irish accent. Fun humor, great imagery. Really fun. I like getting the idea of getting more mad than an Englishman's wife when getting home late from the pub. Oh, what strife. And then tickle you madly, your feet will be first. Let me guarantee you, your curse be damn hearse. So, clever lines and very well done.
Great comment, everybody. Thank you, Will. That was a howl. I enjoyed that. All right, so where would you like to go next? Since we're having...
Let's see here. Let me look. All right. We have... Watching You, Watching Me by Truth Chills. And it goes like this. Late to work again, rushing to pick up a friend. What I see coming down Main Street gives me the heebie-jeebies. A long line of slow-passing cars. Oh, no, it's a hearse. Of course I couldn't catch the end. I have to show up right when it begins. What were they thinking traveling in that thing? It's not a car show, geez. Windows all around the coach, like the deceased needs one last look. As I passed by, I could swear I saw a pair of eyes looking back at me. Nah, it's just the light reflecting off of something. Strange how death is waiting for all of us, but we never dwell too much on it until a hearse is right in front of us. I wonder where they are going to lay that person to rest for me. It has to be the best. Not sure yet if I want to be in a plot where the worms will eat me till I rot, or in a mausoleum where slowly I turn to something that resembles snot. Option 3 is a little beyond me, to be burned up into ashes and put in an urn, then spread out of God knows where, blowing in the wind parts of me here and there, and that I cannot bear. Finally, the last car crawls past me. Funny, I recognize the driver. Looks like my friend's brother. Then I take a second look at the car in front of me and realize I know all of them. It's all coming back to me. Shots rang out. I thought they passed. Apparently not. I guess I got... I'm the one in the box. End poem.
I like that. A nice tone of literality in that, watching you, watching me. But I do like that verse itself, the card figurines all where that's gorgeous. But I like the humor dropped in this, the thought of, when it comes to a gathering of cards like that with the hearse out front and then that long entourage, and you get the stoplight and you realize, oh, it's just starting. And you realize you're going to be there a long time because there's a whole boatload of cars following, and they've all got right of way. Nobody else does at that point in time, except every one of those last cars until the last one passes. So most people get a little miffed in that situation because you realize there's not a whole lot of you can do about it, and you just have to sit and fume, so to speak. So it offers up that little touch of fuming in here as well. But there was that one stanza, I wonder where I'm going to lay that person to rest. For me, it has to be the best. Not sure yet if I want to be in a plot where the worms will eat me till I rot, or in a mausoleum where slowly I turn to something that resembles snot. I thought that was funny as hell. But the option 3, a little beyond me, to be burned up into ash and put in there and then spread out God knows where, blowing in the wind parts of me here and there, and that I cannot bear. And I did like the irony in that last stanza. Yes, reality dawns. It's nicely done there, Truth. All right, Fel, what do you think?
I like this too. I think what she was doing was going to pick her friend up from work and probably got in a car wreck, and that was the last thing that was where her spirit was left. But she's like, look at this. They want to be seen, don't they? In that box, they just want to be that last little ride, and everybody look at them. And she doesn't realize she's looking at herself. I think that's kind of humorous. But it does strike you when you see a hearse pass by and you see that coffin in the back. It's like that death kind of just looks you in the face. You're like, God, that's going to be me someday, or possibly me. And then where you going to be buried? I don't care where they put me. They can put me in a septic tank. They can donate me to science, but science will probably give me back. Say, we ain't doing that, freak. No way. Take it. I prefer to be cremated because, I don't want to take up God's green earth with my body. I'm not that superior over anybody, anyone else having somewhere to live or take their earth up from the infant, from the future. I just, God already knows. I'm right with God, so it doesn't matter. Just blow me in the wind. I don't care. But, I think that it's a very clever write, and it's also another little cliffhanger that gets you at the end. It's like that little zinger, and she starts, realizing, I know that person. Oh crap, it's me. It's my eyes that we're looking out. I like that, and that's it's very clever. She did a very nice job on it.
Yeah, you did a better explanation on that than I did. Thank you. You actually enjoyed that. Thank you, Tom. Pam, what about you?
Yeah, this was a clever take on the prompt. I like how she told this story in the idea that of seeing your own funeral procession. I thought there was some really great references in here, some great bits of dark humor that worked well. I thought there's also some really thoughtful lines, like, strange how death is waiting for all of us, but we never dwell too much on it until a hearse is right in front of us. It actually, in a way, kind of reminded me of Scrooge and the Christmas Carol, and how, you know, the last ghost, the ghost of the future, shows him his own grave, you know, and so it reminded me of that. Now, I'm with Felon as far as getting cremated. That would be my thing. I don't know about other states, but I know in Wisconsin, from my own mom getting cremated, that there are certain rules about where you can, you know, have ashes thrown and spread, and where you can't. You know, it's, I think, always interesting to find those kind of things out. I did particularly like, as far as disgusting, wonderfully visceral imagery there, here is where, not sure if I want to be in a plot where the worms will eat me till I rot, or in a mausoleum where slowly I turn to something that resembles snot. Excellent lines and very well done.
Well said, ladies. Thank you very much. Oh, and you need to refresh the studio.
Okie dokie. Very good. All right. And we ready for the next one?
Absolutely.
All right. Then, Felon, I'm going to go ahead and put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okie dokie. Mine's called One We Must All Take. Fields of lush green hills, penned with stones, set tucked behind the consciousness of existing. Its raft deviates, paved escapes, lined to loose gravel. Carriage rides are free to those who settle in the back. Power to labor Clydesdales, somber clicks off every clack as rocks clash against iron shoes. Cold as death, box pretty, the mood black. A final ride mortality takes in a hearse can be called the Reaper's curse, end poem.
Great read there, Phil. I like that picture.
Thank
too.
You.
And the thought you dropped in with the Clydesdale was a nice touch, as well as the motion, because most people don't hit on the fact you hear the Clydesdales, but you don't think of the sound they make on whether it's concrete or whether they traverse gravel stone roads, and you hit that with a clack as rocks clash against iron shoes. That was a nice touch. Again, same thing with the loose gravel up top, but you also dropped in a little bit of a Rolling Stones painted black in that last stanza, as if that is the noted tone of the day, painting it black. It's
mm-hmm.
all very somber, and it offers up the right mood and tone. And I do like that old-fashioned verse, 19th century. It's even got
Thank
its own
you.
Little it's got its own little oil lamp situated on the side. Yes, we can even do it in the dark.
Let me just say this, Rex. I had a guy that commented on this, and he said, "Fields of lush green and can be called the Reaper's Curse." And I was like, they were not even the same line. They weren't even the same. The one was at the beginning, one was at the end. He said, "What's the connection?" I said, "It's called a graveyard on a dirt road." I was like, what? Like, what is wrong with you? Could you not get it? I was just so disgusted. I was like, a graveyard on a dirt road. What do you think?
Well,
I'm sorry, but I got to say, I was like, duh.
Yeah,
I've had to share that. I was like, am I on Twilight Zone or something? Okay, I'm done.
Yeah. There you go, Phil.
I heard it.
All right, Pam, we're coming your way.
All right. Wonderful right here, Felon. A great brevity, strong imagery. You know, I really like that you bring us to the trip to the graveyard. I especially like the lines in the center stanza, carriage rides are free to those who settle in the back, powered to a labored Clydesdale, somber clicks off every clack as rocks clash against iron shoes. I like that that reminds us that it's not the dead who pay for the trip. You know, it's the family, and it's also, and I like that you bring up the horse, it's also the horse that pays with the wear and tear on his shoes. So very cool and very well done.
Thank you for catching that, Pam. I mean, they probably hope they need a big fatty in there, because then he's really going to be struggling, especially down a dirt road.
That's why they have some big horses.
Yeah, they are. I was very amazed when I seen one. I was like, oh, whoa, that's a big old horse. And I'm from the country,
yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
So, they're huge.
Yeah, thank
that's,
you,
guys.
Thank you.
All right, Pam, where would you like to go next, since we're robbing graves and putting them back in?
All right. Well, up next, we have Caught a Mockingbird by Eric Svensson, and we have a SoundCloud for that. So here we go.
Caught a Mockingbird. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop, cobblestone castanets. Seven white Lipizzaners do the honors. Strident plumes of flame on their heads. Tip, tap, tip, tap. Dilly dagger sway. Swagger delay of last ride. Tedious tailgate glide towards New Orleans Cemetery. Hoppity hop, hoppity hop. Gold casket handles tap dance on hickory wood. Rhythmic percussion knocks on wood seven times. Clappity clap, clappity clap. Doze off for an afternoon nap. High vaulted ceiling fan mesmerize. Somersaulted into realms remove. Zippity zip, unzip. Zippity zip, unzip. Mardi Gras in full swing. Saints and sinners, a marching brass band. Starched masquerade masks, clown face. Pitter patter spat. Pitter patter spat. First raindrops pelt. Spit a spat on bulbous glass hearse windows. Revelets zigzag down these steam-borne gleam sides. Perky, quirky, realization jerks. A ribald reveler's comments offhandedly. Panhandle tune your terms end, buddy. Stately Lipizzaner legs suddenly shake chicken legs. Clackety-clack, clackety-clack. Thunderclap smacks my starched clown face. Giddy up, better make it in time for your own funeral, bud. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the sound file. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think?
This one was fun. I liked his use of alliteration and of sound words like clippity-clop and tip-tap, tip-tap. I like the inner and end rhyme, dilly-dally, swagger, sway, delay of last ride, tedious tailgate glide towards New Orleans cemeteries. I like how it's all about, you know, like the whole way through, he's got the theme of Mardi Gras and of living it up and partying and how it's all about, you know, like living in the moment. I also really like the lines, perky, quirky, realization, jerks, arrival, revelers, comments offhandedly, panhandle, tomb, your tomb's end, buddy, stately lips on her legs, suddenly shake chicken legs. It's like that sudden smack in the face of reality, realizing that the end comes for everybody, especially when it comes to, I almost get the idea of, the whole idea is if you live things up a little too much without thought to the consequences. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bill, how about you?
I know I'm way off, but this is what it just brought to my mind. Mardi Gras in full swings, and he's talking about the first raindrop that he feels. I think maybe he's dressed as a clown or whatever, and I think maybe he's had a little too much on board, if you know what I mean, a little intoxicated. And he's like sleeping out on the street, and guess what hits him? The lightning, because that's where it says here, the first raindrop pelt, spit spat at the bluebird's glass, hearse windows. Maybe he just fell asleep in the back and he can't get out and it's too late now and they're going to put him in the ground. And he's like, that's why his legs are shaking. And he's like, giddy up, better make it time for your own funeral, because it's not his funeral, it's somebody else's, but yet wrong body or wrong person's in there. I mean, I don't know. It's all over the place for me, but that's what I gather from it.
I like that. A different twist on the thought. Like I said, the thought of that is another gorgeous, it's almost regal, stately, but the thought, seven white lipizzanas do the honors, strident plumes aflame on their heads, and he's got all these, the clippy coughs, the tip-tap, the hopping off, the clappy clap. If you've ever seen lipizzanas, they're very deliberate and regal in how they do their steps. They're almost dancing, so you get that feeling of something special when you see them, which is quite the offering as using seven lipizzanas as the pulling crown for this jewel of a hearse. And he repeats that thought. You've got a rhythmic percussion knocks on wood seven times. That sort of a knock on wood brings you luck. But he also dozed off for an afternoon nap, high voltage ceiling fan mesmerized, some assaulted into realms removed. So that kind of hits on that notion where you had the clown that gets drunk and falls asleep in the hearse and ends up becoming a part of the regal end, because you continue on with the same sentence, marching brass band, starch masquerade mask. If you're in the back of the hearse, you know what? Yes, you're definitely hidden. Anyway, the thunderclap smacks my starch clown face. Giddy up. Better make it in time for your own funeral, but it was a nice touch. You brought it up with the lipizzana legs suddenly shake chicken legs. It's kind of, oh, crap. Where the hell am I and where am I going? That notion of, yes, the final call. The ravens have come for their food.
I hear them. I hear them.
That was perfect timing, Pam.
We're hungry. Come visit.
Now, I like what you had to say, Rex. And I actually got to see Lipizzaners perform live in a show way back many decades ago. But it was very memorable. And you're right. When they perform their dance steps, it's very regal and very purposeful in their movement.
I agree, Pam. It is very, very unique.
They're gorgeous. They're gorgeous horses.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely stunning. Well, I just think horses in general, for the most part, are very just beautiful and majestic animals. But
well, yeah,
I agree.
The Lipizzanas hit that note. You've got the Clydesdales, which were always featured in St. Louis with Budweiser as the six horses pulling that huge Budweiser wagon. And You got the Arabian horse, which are great racers.
The point of Jackass is pulling mine.
One of my favorites that I think are really beautiful are the Morgan horses. They're just usually like a dark brown or a black and just really like, you know, just beautiful, beautiful horses.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like I said, I probably have jackasses pulling my hearse. That'd be my luck.
Well, you know, unless my ex is pulling your hearse, there's not much of a chance of you having a jackass.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
All right.
All right, are we ready for the next one?
Let's continue on with our coffin dreams.
All right. Up next, we have A Final Ride by Ruth M. Martz. And I do want to say before reading that I'm sorry that it didn't work for Ruth to be able to call in. Something going wrong,
and I guess we tried and found the same issue. So don't know what's
exactly
up with her.
We're blocked each other, so I can't read nothing she has. I'm sorry.
Oh no, phone.
No problem.
Okay.
All right. I'll go. All right. This is A Final Ride by Ruth M. Martz, and it goes like this. It doesn't take a week to rot. The process starts when your clock stops. Everyone knows a mortician's job starts when your job ends. They pick you up, put you on a stretcher, slide you into a van. That would be what could be better. You're already starting to decay. That's the only way. Take you to the mortuary, put you on a slab, steel or porcelain. Wash you with bacterial soap. Do your hair, that feels so good. Don't you wish you could appreciate this? A person doesn't have to be embalmed unless they are going to cross state lines or you die from a contagious disease. So please remember that. Save some cash. Massage to break the rigor with creams and lotions. They won't stain your brand new bed. Looking good for being dead. If you are embalmed, the mortician takes an instrument called a trocar, inserts it into your organs in the chest cavity, abdomen punctured and drained of gas, fluid contents then replaced with formaldehyde-based chemical mixtures. The incision is closed. The body is fully embalmed. Now your hair is dry and combed just like you did it at home. Makeup to make you look more natural. Just see an improvement. It is. You look good. You really do. I almost didn't recognize you. Now your clothes split up the back, then eased on. You look so good. Too bad you're gone. Placed in a beautiful casket that costs as much as a down payment on a house. Everyone is quiet as a mouse. Only the best now that you are dead, a one-room place to lay your head. This is what they would find, they'd say. Actually, no, I'd rather be another way, not dead. So now the religious service is done. Let's take a ride and get it over. Put me in a Cadillac, biggest, most expensive ride money can buy. If you see me now, I'm really mad. I'm not around to enjoy it. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. Belle, what do you think?
I like this a lot. I like where she says, you know, when you first start out, you know, you begin to rot, and that's true. You do, but not as quick as animals do. They go fast. But, you know, I've been in the field that I'm in or was in, part of our internship was that we had to go see embalming. And that's not a very pleasant thing to see. It's not. think I was all of 21 when I sang, or no, I'm sorry, I was 18 years old when I sang that. And that was back in the, I'm trying to remember myself now, back in 1989. And it wasn't, it was more barbaric then. And, you know, in the, seeing all the fluids and all, you know, all interstitial fluids being down a, you know, a little drain, I was like, whoa, I don't think I want this to happen to me. So that's when I decided I'm going to be cremated. But, it's very barbaric, and then the way they fix the bodies up and everything, and she's so true. It is so true. You know, they put the little clothes with the slits up the back, even the socks. The socks have a little cut. And if I could just get clothes like that every day that had the Velcro on it, I'd be so happy. I would have to get ready to go, you know. But I think this is a very clever rite, and it speaks a lot of truth. And you know, sometimes we always do sit in the funeral home and whisper. You know, whispering when, you know, the person's laying there dead. It's not like they can hear what we're saying. We already know we're dead. You know, everybody knows we're dead. It's like me, I want to have a party. I mean, throw down, take whatever I have left and just let's burn it down. Have a good old time. I don't care. I want people crying and, oh, I don't want that. I want people to have a good time. Remember me, laugh, say the crazy things I've done and all the stupid stuff I've done. You know, the smart stuff, and very few far between. But so just
mark it down. Hard. You want an Irish wake.
I don't care what they do, really. I ain't gonna be there.
But typically, they take the body in the coffin, they put it in the house, and everybody would have food and drinks and toast your good days as a way of celebrating your life.
Yeah. I say just have a good old time. I don't care. And I ain't going to be there. So, you know, I don't want people crying over me because if they didn't cry on me when I was alive, they sure don't need to cry over me when I'm dead. That's where I see it.
Nice. I did like the clinical aspect of this because it does offer up some things that most people don't know of, but there are a lot of us who do know some of this stuff. So that was cleverly placed in. But I also like the wry bits of humor that rolled in with this too. Especially that bit for the anger on the back end. That was a nice touch. Hey, I can't enjoy this. This ain't fair. I'd rather be enjoying it with you. Kind of that nice touch of, I've been all gussied up. It's like, hell, at least you could take me out. I want to go out in the town before I go in the ground, so to speak. Nicely done, Ruth. Thank you very much. And Pam? How about you, since you got to read it?
Yeah, this was great fun to read. I thought it had a wonderful dark humor. I like what Felon had to say, and I have to agree that, you know, don't want people crying over you who wouldn't have cried over you, didn't care about you when you were alive, and you want the people who did care about you to really just, you know, have fun and, you know, remember you in a fun way. So I like that whole thought, and like you, Rex, I really like some of the technical stuff in this. The things I learned, like the idea that you don't have to be embalmed unless you're crossing state lines or you have a communal disease. I thought that was really cool. That was not something I knew. There were certain parts of this that got me kind of giggly, like. Massage to break the rigor mortis with creams and lotions kind of made me think of some guy beating the bishop or choking the chicken. So that's what I'm thinking in my head.
Yeah.
And
rigor leaves you, you've got to break that rigor just to make the body pliable again. Otherwise it's tough going. So yeah, ointments and creams to help massage the angle out.
Rigor normally goes out in 12 to 14 hours.
Yes.
Yeah. It says in the first eight and then relieves itself in 12 to 14.
I really like these lines throughout and the information and how it's another one that touches on the idea how people spend extra money that isn't needed. It also makes me think of this this thing I saw on Facebook that said, and I totally agree with it, it's that there's actually the relative, when a female dies, the relatives or friends make the decision on whether or not she's going to be buried in a bra. And there's this meme on Facebook that said, I want you all to know that if you bury me in a bra, I am coming back to haunt your asses. And I want every one of my friends and family members to know. When I am buried, I better be braless.
Oh, my Lord. With some tape under it, make them look bigger.
Yeah.
Give me a lift. Give me a lift.
Oh. Yeah, there you go.
Sorry. Make them look perky.
Shit, mine don't even usually look perky, just as long as they're not in a bra. That's all I ask.
I'll come and put tape on for you, Pam.
All right.
God,
thank you, Sally.
You reminded me of a really bad joke.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
What was it? My best friend caught me smelling his sister's underwear. It didn't help the fact that she was still wearing him in the coffin.
Oh, dear Lord, who said that?
Oh,
my God. That got sick.
Yeah,
that's a funny joke.
I know I didn't get it all right. There was just a couple more lines in there. But
you did it, you got it.
Yeah, but there's something about a big hullabaloo with the rest of the family, because they were all, it was in the viewing room.
Oh, my Lord. Well, do they smell good?
I like them.
All right. Hats wants to know what weed we are smoking, and wow, a fetish. Yes, that is a little bit off the beaten path there, Hats. And we don't recommend it. Then now that we're caught in the satin lining of things, where do we go now?
All right. Well, up next we have Don't Curse the Hearse by Chris Bond. And Felon, will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. Don't Curse the Hearse by Chris Bond. Yes, they go slow, a procession leisurely as they flow, and traffic can wait. So what if you're late? Contemplate your own fate, where it may take you. One day you will head of its cue. Glass windows, no privacy on your last trip. At least the new coffin looks at its best. Like a freshly launched ship, as soon as your box is committed to the sea of earth, don't curse the hearse, its functioning vehicle taking you there. And if you don't need to worry, definitely don't need to hurry. Absorb every minute of your last journey. You'll be just another dinner for Mother Nature, end poem.
Great read, though. Thank you very much. And that is definitely a very British hearse. I like that. Got to offer up that editor's pick. I like the brightness. Glass windows, no privacy on your last trip. At least the new coffin look at its best, like a freshly launched ship. And soon your box is committed to the sea of earth. Don't curse the hearse. You'll soon be just another dinner for Mother Nature. Yes. If the worm's got to crawl in and the worm's got to crawl out, well, you know what? You might as well enjoy the feeding frenzy. Nicely done, Chris. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what about you?
Yeah, I thought this one was fun and clever. I like that it gave me a couple different thoughts. You know, the first one being, you know, when a funeral procession is going by, you know, don't be impatient, because, you know what, too soon it'll be your turn. I also like the phrase, don't curse the hearse, because the other thing it makes me think of is the idea that, you know, you can't blame the car itself. You know, it's an object. You know, it's like assigning the idea of bad luck to objects. And so I liked that. I thought it was a great story, wonderful ending. You'll soon be another dinner for Mother Nature. I also like the line, glass windows, no privacy on your last trip. At least the new coffin looks at its best, like a freshly launched ship. So clever lines and very well done.
Excellent, Pam. Thank you very much. And Bella, you got to read it. How about you?
I like this a lot. It really doesn't matter if you have any privacy or not. It's not like you got strippers in the back with you, or you're getting that one last in before you get to the graveyard. So does it matter if you have privacy or not? You know, it's not like you're doing a whole lot back there, but laying still. I think that's it's kind of like, it's funny how we think of things like that when, when we're dead, like, well, maybe, people looking at me like looking here, laying here, but, and it's just, and you don't need to worry, definitely don't need to be in a hurry, because if you ain't got nowhere but one place you're going, and that's going to be it. That's over, finito, gone, buried, and it's over. So I think this is a very nice brevity, and it also has some dark humor to it as well. So who's to say that you can't get a party bus now going on with strippers in the back as you're going to the graveyard? I think I might be some money in that. We'll look into that one. Listen to them ravens again. I'm getting crickets.
Well, this is Halloween week, so we're bringing out the goodies.
Like a crow, caw, caw, caw.
All right, Pam, where are we going next?
All right, well... did you want to comment on Chris's poem there, Rex?
I did. I let it.
Oh, you did. Okay. Okay. I totally missed that. All right.
Oh, Ruth just sent me something that'll give you guys a kick. The one thing that bothered me was the lipstick they put on men. Personally, my dad never wore lipstick. Laugh out loud. That was a good one, Heather. Thank you very much. Oh, nice touch there, Phil.
That's why she forgot you were. That's why she forgot to comment. She was sniffing the panties.
Oh my God! Well, we're kicking it off the right way. Funds from the coffins. We're on our way, and we ain't coming back. All right.
Up next, we have what. When I Die by Time Teller, and Rex, give that a read.
When I Die by Time Teller. When I die, be sure to lie. He never vented or had a go, never judged or did things for show. So convince the man in charge, no, not him, Farage. I was a good guy, don't let me fry. And when you find me dead, the maggots, now flies, are so well fed. There's no need to fuss and ceremony. Just leave me in the woods near the agamony. Hemp for nature's good will be my bed. And once a week or daily, if you like, come back and watch even at night. See the flies lay their eggs. Watch the foxes gnaw my legs. And someone's dog can run off with my head. Take it home and gift it to someone's bed. One day there will be nothing left. I will be gone without a trace. Oh, except for the thing I left under your bed. Last Halloween, I had it made knowing I'll be gone forever from this race. A mask of my lovely, rotten face. Oh, I like that, TT. Thank you very much. All right, Kyle, since you was giggling on that note, what do you think?
I like that. That's something I would dig. That's very clever. Yeah. When the Halloween, I knew that I was going to be gone from this race and mask and my lovely rotten face. Can you imagine looking under your bed going, oh, shit. No, but I like the fact that he's like, just leave me out in the woods, you know, and let whatever have me. And then the beginning was really well, too. It's like, you know, I need somebody to kind of step up and let God know I'm a good guy. Let me in. Don't let me fry. Don't let me go to hell. Because somebody put a good word in for me. Because obviously he's done some bad things, but he needs somebody to go and do some gaslighting for him. So, wow, this is just a very clever write. It's got a lot of dark humor in it, but it's just a lot of darkness to it as well. I enjoyed it a great bit.
Thank you, Phil. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I like the dark humor in this. I like the whole idea of, you know, make sure to tell all these great lies about me, that I never complained, I never vented. I thought he did real well in fitting with the song with the, and when you find me dead, the maggots now fly, they're so well fed. There's no need to fuss and ceremony. Just leave me in the woods near the agrimony. Hemp for nature's goods will be my bed. Wonderful lines, great visceral imagery, and very well done. Oh, and I also like the end where he mentions the death mask, which was a very popular tradition in Victorian times, especially. Victor Hugo, they actually had a death mask made of his face.
And
other things. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like a real, like that is like peeled him?
Like as soon as you like die, they take and plaster, and they put plaster over your face. And they use the plaster to make a mask of your face, like right after you die. So it's not made out of your skin. It's made out of plaster.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they do it when I'm young before. I don't want a wrinkly one. Get a good side. Give me when I got a good side.
Oh. Then you'd have to die young for that to be accomplished. And there's no fun in that.
Well, they can just do it early.
Well, that kind of, when we're that long, young, we never pre-plan for anything because we think we're never going to die until it kind of smacks something up the head. So, all right.
True to that.
Yeah, I like this. I like this. It's nicely dark and delicious. That one stanza you just read, Pam, was good. But I did, too, the thought of, come visit me. Once a week or daily, if you like, come back and watch me even at night. See the flies lay their eggs, watch the foxes gnaw my legs, and someone's dog can run off with my head. Take it home and gift it to someone's bed. There's a nice note to the godfather, the horse's head in the bed next to the owner. Yeah. Or, hey, we'll make you go sleep with the fishes. Someone's got to eat. You might as well leave it out where nature can take its course. You get the foxes, you get the vultures, you get the worms, you get the maggots, you get a little bit of everything. Oh, enjoying life for at least one more day because of you. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, do you want to go next?
All right, up next we have I Hate You, I Said by Pink Fairy 5. And it goes like this. I jumped a bit when the hearse slammed. My bones were brittle and I felt quite damned. My flesh was starting to gray up. It gave a laugh. My eyes were sinking and I felt a draft. She's not in there, someone assured my kin. I knew it was true because of the shape I was in. I had been confused as the onset of death, of course. I was still angry as hell at that runaway horse. Can I see her one last time? A familiar voice said. I was horrified. I did not want this guy to see my body dead. No, I yelled. No, but did they hear me? Of course not. They opened it up and he yelled, she has some dry rot. I hate you, I said. Get out of my face. You are a worm. I saw him flinch back up, scream, and finally squirm. Don't let anyone else see me this way, I told the undertaker. but of course he did not listen. That sneering, give me a handshaker. How many times are you going to open this hearse and lid? Why don't you just toss me in the street? I asked my Uncle Sid. They put me in a hearse and whisked me away in the night. I was relieved when I saw angels and headed straight towards the light. And Pope.
Great read, Pam. And another bit of dark twisted humor. I like this one. Yes, you finally realize you're DOA. And no, don't let him see me. And then you get that scream. I'd taken a back look. Oh, damn. Look what they did to her. And then just like the sort of, I hate you. Get out of my face. You are a worm. I saw him flinch back up, scream, and finally squirm. Don't let anyone else see me this way, I told the Undertaker. But of course, he didn't listen. That sneer giving him me a handshake. Oh, my God. I thought that was pretty funny, and I like the bite of humor in this, too. Nicely done, Tink. All right, Phil, what do you think?
Oh, I like this, too. We are getting a lot of dark-humored writes, and it's kind of funny. It's nice to see when we can laugh about something that's so serious and so painful and grief that we can actually – you know, take a look at ourselves, like on the other side, especially where she's like, no, don't let them look at me. Like, are you serious? And not look at this thing. And then he's like, oh my God, you think you're out of rock. You're like, well, isn't this just great? This is how they're going to remember me. This is just what I really wanted. So I think this is take on that and how sometimes, you know, you can give your wishes that you don't want your body to be seen. You always get that one. Oh, come take a look how nice she looks. You're like, I really don't want to see it. And they're like, oh, please look. And you look, you're like, that's not nice, but okay. So this is just, I think, a very nice ride as far as that goes. And also, it's got a nice cadence to it as well. So great job there, Pink Fairy.
Well, thank you, Phil. And I just saw your lines about that last piece. You're like a dog who come home with your boobs.
You may have looked at me, I'm serious.
Oh, my God.
I was like, God, I need those. Should have wore that bra.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Pam, you're up. You got to read it. What do you think? Pam, are you mutating?
I was, yes. So I have to admit that the end line confused me. I'm not quite sure why she didn't see the light until after the hearse. So now that I think about it, maybe it was because she wasn't actually dead. But I don't get that impression. I don't know. It's a confusing end line. But besides that, the rest of it is really good. I like the rhyme in here. I liked the dark humor. I liked the whole thought of someone who is like the idea of the perspective of a dead person who's so concerned about how they look, because we all know in reality that wouldn't really happen. So the silliness of it is what makes it so much fun. I wasn't surprised that you got quite a few dark humor right, because the song presented as one of the prompts, as part of the prompt, is a dark humor song, a dark humor poem. I particularly like in this one, can I see her one last time? A familiar voice said, I was horrified. I did not want this guy to see me dead. No, I yelled, no, but did they hear me? Of course not. They opened it up and he yelled, she has some dry rot. So, fun lines and very well done.
Dry rot, yeah. Well, maybe you shouldn't have opened it. That could have been fair warning. Oh, my God. All right, where would you like to take us next?
All right. And up next, we have Barking Hearse by Rain 474. And Felon, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Will do so. This is Rain 474, Barking Hearse. It goes like this. Hellinghurst on the run, where I lay without any fun, a long line of people follow, but I feel like crippling hollow. With a stolen breath, I feel I lost with my worth. Laying down here, still, robs me of all my will. One time elegant pearl, now lay here without any whirl, able to roam freely all over, but no more capable to call theirs. Walking on feet was my pride. Laying here is my last ride. Between pride and ride, our gap became so wide. Journey from living to dead, blood became white from red. The Kirkenen hawk finally blocks, counting me among the dead flock. Once a ruler of the worms, now I myself is their farm. Once dining on the other's flesh, now my own flesh they sketch. There was a time so cool when I bathed in perfume pool, and now the rotten smell is where I truly dwell. So, as the hearse goes by, did your heart ever say, next is your time to decay and be carried to Grave Bay? End poem.
Great read, Bell. And I like this one, too. We had some nice little flavors of decay going on with all these pieces, especially, what was this one? Journey from living to dead, blood became white from red. The circadian clock finally blocks, counting me among the dead block, dead flocks. And before the back end of this piece.
Got it out.
Welcome to my nightmare. Listen to the children of the night. They sing such beautiful music. Anyway. Once a ruler of the worms, now I myself is their farm. Once dining on others' flesh, now on my flesh they sketch. Ooh, kind of rolls down that door. Hey, we got an etch-a-sketch. That's the worms crawling all over your body, sir. Anyway, and then that last one with the rotten smell is where I truly dwell. I got a kick out. I thought, Fel, you were going to die laughing on that note. But you got through the last stanza, too, so kudos. Pam, what about you?
Yeah, I thought this was nicely written. I like the whole realistic look at death and how, as you pointed out, that line about how once ruled over the worms and now once a ruler of the worms, mine myself is their farm. Was a great line. I also like walking on feet was my pride. Laying here is my last ride. Between pride and ride, our gap became so wide. I like how those lines give a nod towards the saying, pride cometh before the fall. Almost like we spend our whole lives feeling so proud of ourselves and every little accomplishment we make, and the idea of everything we do. Oftentimes, it makes me think about the idea how oftentimes people are so full of themselves for everything that they do, from an overabundance of exercise to kale smoothies, you know, to keep themselves alive, only to, like, say, get hit by a bus or something, you know. And so excellent lines and very well done.
A kale smoothie, that sounds positively disgusting. So you got to read that. What do you think?
I'm kind of lost on the ruler of the worms, because to me, I know that what he's saying, or the person saying about now that they're the farm, but I want to know how they rule the worms to begin with. I mean, I ain't never messed with no worms. So I'm curious, were they fishermen, or, you know, did they have some kind of farm, or like a real farm that had dealt with, I mean, I don't know, I'm just because I'm getting, digging in too deep, and I think my nightmares is kicking in too. But I think this is a very clever write, and I think I like the little short, impactful line. So, and there was a time so cool when I bathed in perfume pool, and now the rotting smell is where I truly dwell. I would hate that too. I'd hate to be stinking like that. Of course, you're not going to smell yourself, but somebody else will, and that's just embarrassing. So this is a great right and dark right in here as well.
Well, that thought with the worms, like you said, well, I think that hits on the notion of a worm farm, being somebody who takes out their detritus and throws it in a compost pile. So compost pile,
oh,
so you get the worm. So,
gotcha.
So the bad idea is, hey, I had that worm farm, now I'm the farm for the worms. Kind of a twisted notion of, yeah, what once you did, now you're getting paid to have it done to you, so to speak.
Very good point.
All right, Pam, where would you like to go next?
What? Is I think he is standing on the bow of the Titanic shouting, I am king of the worms. That's what I think.
Yeah, wait a minute. You got to offer that one final note. You got to offer that one final note. And I'm going down.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go. And you know, she lets go. She lets go. If she just scooted her fat ass over, he could have got on there with her and he'd still be alive. And the whole hog hook up all that damn door.
Right?
That made me so mad in that movie. He was so cute.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
So where are we going?
All right.
Next?
Well, the last poem we have for the night is Funeral Gone Wrong by Poeta de Cabra. And Rex, go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All righty. Funeral Gone Wrong by Poeta de Cabra. Hearst was going steady up a mighty big hill. Apprentice didn't shut door properly. What a deal. Door flew open and out fell the nice shiny casket. Undertaker swore so loud, he nearly blew a gasket. You stupid young fool, he yelled. Just what we need. As they watched the coffin picking up a bit of speed. Drivers had to dodge and their horns were beeped. Coffin was speeding flat out down the main street. At least 75 miles an hour, you can mark my word. When all of a sudden the wooden box mounted the curb, across the footpath it flew as a shocked pedestrian swore, then went straight through the open pharmacy store door. Next thing was amazing, but it happened, I swear it did. Casket smashed against the counter, and off flew the lid. Hard to believe, but it's really such an amazing sight. Body went flying forward and stood at the counter upright. Pharmacist loitered out, as if he was in slow motion, wondering what in hell was causing such a commotion. May I help you, sir? He asked with his big eyes a-popping. Yes, said the man. I'm after something to stop this coughing. And boom. All right. There you go, pal. Come on, giggle up the storm and tell us what you think.
Oh, my God. This is epic. This is so epic. I like where he says, may I help you, sir? Yes, the man. I'm after something to stop this coughing. That's a perfect line. Because, you know, the coughing, you know, like I'm like coughing, but he's saying coughing. I think it's hilarious. He really adds, I'm sorry, this is just hilarious. For him to come up with a story like this, sliding and slipping down through the main street, and then finally he comes through the door of the pharmacy, and then he's like, right, and he's like, I need something to help me stop this coughing. This is epic, and this could be actually a really funny joke. So, Poeta, classic, classic, classic. I love it. Great job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Phil. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like how he extended a joke into a poetic rhyme. I thought this was clever and fun. It created a nice scene, a wonderful punchline ending with wordplay. Like Felon said, yes, the man I'm after something to stop this coffin. I told him that originally when I commented on this 2 years ago, that I could imagine this entire scene in a comedy, like done by either the Three Stooges or in a Jim Carrey movie. It was just a delight to listen to and to read again. And just, you know, one of those rites that definitely makes you laugh and smile. So very well done.
Absolutely. But I can actually see this as a storyline that actually did happen. You've got, because you've got the apprentice in here, didn't close the door properly. This happened in some small town somewhere that horrified the residents. And then it evolved from there, getting embellished and then told, getting rolled into a joke. So this probably did happen somewhere along the line. And it's just because it's rich with detail. I like the thought with the coffin speeding down the street and the funny thing, hopping the curb. Yeah, the pharmacy is a nice touch to drop this off at the end because it's it does hit on that note. Hey, the guy stands straight up. And the guy who's got the wee eyeglasses on because he's spent so much time trying to decipher prescriptions that he's half blind to begin with before realizing, hell, the guy is dead. So, Poeta, nice touch. Thank you very much. We ended on a very funny note, which is a great place to finish off, except for now we get to embellish the rest of the week. What's going on tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow or tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, we have Twisted Tuesday with the Twisted Sisters, Things That Go Bump in the Night. Then 12 p.m. on Wednesday, we have Keeping It Brief, or 1 p.m. on Wednesday, Keeping It Brief, which is Open Brevity Poetry. And I believe they might still need some rights if anybody's interested. There's a topic board in the Brevity Writers Group. And then 12:30 a.m. on Thursday. Oh, wait, then, sorry, let me think about this back up. 10 p.m. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Wednesday. 10 p.m. on Wednesday is The Art of Seduction with Gray Eyes and Luyu, and they are doing vampires and werewolves. And, of course, make sure to check out all the topic boards and contests put out by all our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses for Halloween week, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And great show tonight, Rex. If there's anything you'd like to mention for upcoming shows, go ahead.
Tonight was a howl. A lot of fun had tonight. Thank you, guys. Great kickoff for the week. Sunday, I've got a bunch of musical entrees to play with, so there's still plenty of room for that show. And don't miss out. Every night this week, there will be something for you to enjoy in the Halloweenish attitudes. So, please join us. And thank you, Pam, Randy, and Phil. Thank you for joining us on air. And for Pee-wee, Hats, Randy, Ruth, and Alice, thank you for the boards. We appreciate it. And we'll see you all later on today and again later on in the week.